So we're in week two of our Advent and Christmas series, God in 4K HD. The idea here is that as we're preparing for the coming of Jesus, this is a good image for thinking about who Jesus is in relation to God. Jesus is God in 4K HD. Jesus is God in the best image, the best picture, the best distinction, the most color, the best definition that we can possibly comprehend. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God come in the flesh. So what Jesus reveals to us about God is what we need to believe about God. Because there are a lot of ways of thinking and believing about God. And some of them are not compatible with Jesus. There's a different sort of image to think about, right? If you're trying to use an image of God or a way of thinking about God that is not compatible with Jesus, that is like trying to watch a VHS tape on your HD 4K TV. Okay, the image, you've got the best image that you could have, but you're plugging in incompatible image. And so the picture is going to be fuzzy. It's not going to be clear. It's not going to quite make sense. Some things are going to be indistinct, and they're going to make you understand things, possibly incorrectly. It may mislead you to thinking incorrect things about God. For instance, one idea of God says that God only saves a few, the chosen, and all others are designated to receive God's judgment. But I don't think that is compatible with what Jesus said last week, that God is generous and seeking to save the world. I don't find those ideas compatible. The other idea, the idea about the chosen, it's logical. You can use certain scriptures to back it up, but it's not compatible with Jesus. Another image suggests that God is angry, that baseline for God is angry and wrathful, ready to destroy the people that God made and torture them for all eternity. If you put this up against Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and when Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd," any Jew, any person hearing that would immediately think of Psalm 23. And so we read Psalm 23 today as our sermon scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we read that the Good Shepherd is generous, as we talked about last week, making sure that we lack for nothing, filling our cup to overflowing. The Good Shepherd provides what you need and guides you to it. First, it mentions the basics, right? Food, water, safety. The Good Shepherd guides the sheep to these things. And the imagery there of God as a shepherd, That evokes the entire history of Israel. God guiding the people through the wilderness to safety in the land of milk and honey, the green pastures and the flowing rivers of the promised land. God raising up kings for Israel to lead them in the world, protect them from the Canaanites. But there is more here than the history of a people, than God's promises to a group. Because the psalm is written individually and it transfers in the middle to being in first person, a person talking to God. You see, God is not only generous to a world and generous to a people, but the good shepherd cares for each individual person. Now, this is a different image than a God who is sort of generally benevolent, but ultimately uninvolved in your specific life. God cares for you individually. The Good Shepherd cares for your life. One of the first things it tells us is that the Good Shepherd makes you lie down. Anybody want to lie down? Does anybody feel tired today? Steele, you feel tired, buddy? I feel you, man. I'm serious. Right? We're tired. There's so much in this world that's up against us, so much coming into our lives all the time that we wish you could just lie down, rest, relax, restore, take a break. And if you are following the Good Shepherd makes you lie down. In fact, it's number 4 on his top 10 list. Take a Sabbath. Lie down. Rest. Find that time. If you're following the Good Shepherd, that is where the Good Shepherd is leading you to. Because he cares for you. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. See, the Good Shepherd recognizes the reality of our world. I think that's why we read Psalm 23 so often at funerals. This is not a pie in the sky for a fanciful view of reality. It's not butterflies and roses. It doesn't say if we walk through the valley of shadow of death. It assumes the walk in the valley. It assumes that your enemies are coming before you to surround you, to try to overcome you, seeking your destruction. Sometimes we lose our way. Sometimes we find ourselves on another path. The Good Shepherd is ready always to find us and bring us back and to walk with us on that path. But sometimes the right path, the path of righteousness, leads through the valley of the shadow of death. It leads through great darkness. Psalm 23 recognizes that if following the Good Shepherd does not mean that nothing bad will ever happen to you, if only you pray hard enough, if only you have enough faith, if only you don't sin. Now, following the Good Shepherd sometimes leads through the valley. And God cares for us so much, cares for you so much, to be with you in that valley, to lead you through, to guide you with the rod, to protect you with the rod, but also to discipline you with the rod and keep you on the path when the path is dark and scary. And God leads you with the staff, always before you, always ready to go and to lift you up with that crook and bring you back onto the right path to save you. You know why? Because God cares for you. Even more than that, God is ready to prepare a table for you there in the darkness, in the presence of your enemies. There, God is ready to help you to see that there, even there, your cup can run over. To help you to find that there, the cup can overflow. See, a caring God makes caring people. And a caring person can't be untouchable, can't be unreachable in our fallen world. A caring person has to be vulnerable. And vulnerable people get hurt. God doesn't make us invulnerable. God makes us resilient. And God is with us because God cares for us. Because God cares for you. God before you. God leading you. God guiding you. God is with you. God is comforting you. God is seeking to overcome your fear. And we also read that God is behind you, following you. Goodness, and that good old word I've mentioned a lot, that Hebrew word hesed, God's goodness, mercy, merciful kindness, experienced as love and grace in our lives, following you, pursuing you, no matter where you go, no matter where you go, never giving up on you, just like some crazy shepherd that leaves the 99 sheep just to go find the one. God cares for you so much, it is incomprehensible to us. It doesn't make sense. And yet that is what God does. Why? Well, God says, for his name's sake. The purpose is for God's own name's sake. That's like God saying, what's my name? I'm God. It's what I do. This is who I am. It's not about who you are. This is about who God is. God has staked his name on you. In baptism, God has printed his name on your forehead, marked you as God's own. The God of the whole universe, the God of the angel armies, the God who is so much holier and more perfect than we can even imagine, cares for you so much that he stakes everything, his own name, on you. Because that's who God is. That's the God we see in Jesus Christ. And that's why we read this at funerals, because we believe that when you follow the Good Shepherd, that not even death can overcome the name that God has placed on your life, the care that God has for you, and that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thanks be to God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.